News, sports, weather from Dr. Bill Williams, traffic info from Kane, and one of the Gulf Coast's most familiar voices. It's Mobile Mornings with Dan Brennan and Dalton Arwig.
Good morning. It is 7 minutes after 8 o'clock on FM Talk 106.5. Dan Brennan, Dalton Arwig, turning up your voice later on this hour, 343-0106. You can also text us at that same line, 343-0106. Right now, Natalie Fox is the Director of Nursing for USA Health and joins us on the line this morning. Natalie, good morning to you.
Good morning.
So we've kind of reconvened on Mondays now, every Monday at this time, to kind of talk about the Delta variant and the surge and the numbers and obviously some of the treatments and vaccinations available. So let's talk about all that right now. Where would you like to start?
Yeah, so unfortunately, I don't have any better story for what our area hospitals are really experiencing. I think for the past couple weeks, we've kind of talked about the strain that our hospitals in our area are experiencing due to the increased number of COVID-positive patients in the beds and then the ICU beds. And it's still affecting all of us with limited beds. You know, if you need anything, you know, whether it's a heart attack, appendicitis, or car wreck, unfortunately, you know, when we have this many COVID-positive patients hospitalized, it really does affect the care that our area hospitals are able to provide for everybody. And we're seeing evidence of that and that several hospitals have had to limit elective surgeries. Last week, I talked a little bit about the pediatric patients that had went, you know, relatively not very much affected. Our children's hospital over the past year did not have very many pediatric COVID admissions. We had very few serious pediatric COVID admissions, and that seemed to have changed with this Delta variant. So as of today, we have 18 pediatric patients hospitalized with COVID. We have 7 pediatric patients that are in our pediatric intensive care unit, and unfortunately, 4 of those are on the ventilator. So again, a way different story for us. And so really, we need the community to help us help you, which is through masking, social distancing, and what we've talked about several times, vaccines.
That's, it's disconcerting to hear, of course, anyone that needs to be on a ventilator, but when it's a child, that's just something even worse, Natalie. What are the symptoms of these children that are being admitted? Are they similar to what we've seen over the course of this last year and a half with older people, or what are you seeing?
We're actually seeing more of that. We didn't see very many kids have some of the cardiac complications that we're seeing now. Definitely seeing respiratory, increased need for oxygen support. And again, pediatric patients tend to, with other viruses like RSV, tend to need some of that when they're younger. We usually don't see older children or teenage children need that support, but we are seeing that now.
Mm. The clinic remains open down at the Civic Center on
a
daily basis.
Talk about the
numbers.
Testing in the expo hall.
Yeah.
We're there Monday through Friday providing testing. Those numbers are holding pretty steady, anywhere between 200 and 300 a day. We've opened back up vaccines in the arena. That's the big part of the dome. Last week on Monday, we hit 350 vaccines given on Friday. That is the most that we have given in a single day in several months. You know, back in June, we were only given around 300 a week. So, again, a good sign. Those vaccines really, you know, it takes several weeks to go into effect, though, but we're still happy that we're seeing that increased number. I wanted to talk a little bit about something that happened with the FDA and the CDC last week. So late last week, for anybody who I'm sure has seen the news, the FDA approved and the CDC recommended an additional dose of an mRNA vaccine. So those are the Moderna and Pfizer products to anybody who's immunocompromised 28 days after their second dose.
A third dose 28 days after the second dose.
That's correct. A third dose for fully vaccinated immunocompromised people. And, you know, that's not really surprising because if you think about it, if somebody's, you know, immune system is compromised, not working well, they probably won't mount an immune response like somebody else would when we give them a vaccine. And so what we kind of saw across the nation is that, you know, those breakthrough cases or people who were fully vaccinated that did require hospitalization were a large proportion of those were in immunocompromised people. So, again, not surprising that this recommendation came out. So, again, you know, and you can get those today with us, USA Health, by visiting usahealthvaccines.com to make an appointment to come to the arena. And, of course, more than anything, we want to get more first doses and second doses into the arms of our community, and you can make an appointment using that link as well.
Tell me that a little bit here. Immunocompromised, where? How do you qualify? Where's the threshold with that?
Yeah, so currently the CDC recommends that moderate to severe immunocompromised people receive an additional dose. So to give you some ideas of what people fall into that category, if you have active cancer treatment for a tumor or cancer of the blood, you're likely taking medications as part of that treatment or getting chemotherapy that's going to make your immune system, you know, not quite mount the response. So you would fall in that category. If you've received an organ transplant and they're taking meds to suppress your immune system, if you've had a stem cell transplant within the last 2 years and, again, are taking some type of medication to suppress your immune system, if you have an advanced untreated HIV infection, if you have a moderate or severe immunodeficiency disorder, or you've been giving active treatment with high-dose steroids or any other drugs that just would suppress your immune response. And the end-all way to know if you are in one of those categories, if you're not sure, is, of course, to talk to your healthcare provider to figure that out.
Yeah, so Dan on the text line asks, I have a heart valve replacement. Should I get a third? Is that something he should just ask his doctor for?
Yeah, because we need to you know, what kind of medications? You know, it doesn't really mean that that person's on some type of medication that's suppressing their immune response. So, again, talk to their healthcare provider to get the answer to that.
We're talking with Natalie Fox, Chief Nursing Officer at USA Health. Been doing an amazing job over this last and long year and a half. Another text from the text line, Shannon says, are they doing rapid testing at the Expo Hall?
Yeah, so we do. We have rapid antigen testing. And then, you know, we will, if the person is symptomatic and that test comes back negative, we still reflect that to a traditional PCR testing that goes to the lab to get our final answer. If you are asymptomatic and getting tested because you've been exposed or you need testing for travel or some other reason, we would likely just do a traditional test and save those rapid tests for the symptomatic patient.
Natalie, I think the number I saw last week nationally, Delta now making up about 93% of the cases. Is that kind of what you're seeing around here?
Yeah, and again, you know, we don't sequence everybody who's positive. Think about it. On some of those rapid swabs, you know, that's all you're getting is a rapid. But the labs that do a lot of the sequencing, again, locally, Synergy Lab is a local lab that has been providing sequencing to our health departments and various facilities. And then UAB, you know, out of all the samples they were getting, they were coming back, like you said, high over 90% Delta variant. And that's what we're seeing circulating in the community causing this surge that we're having now.
Yeah, and I think a lot of vaccinated citizens are concerned about the stories we're hearing about breakthroughs through the vaccine. So it seems like anecdotally that number seems to be high, but what are the actual numbers as far as people who have been fully vaccinated still getting the Delta variant? Can you do you have numbers on that?
I don't really have that number for just anybody who's tested positive. We do know that we are having breakthrough cases, but for the majority, what we're seeing is those people have mild symptoms that self-resolve in about 10 days, similar to another cold or virus. What we're not seeing with vaccinated people, and I think a lot of hospitals have been sharing these numbers over and over again on, you know, media, social media like Facebook, is the vast majority of those hospitalized that are in the ICU or requiring extra support are unvaccinated.
Hmm. Is there any breakdown? This may not be something that you do have, but what of the, you know, of the three vaccines out there, which one has been more compromised or is more vulnerable to a breakthrough? Does that make sense?
Yeah. So, you know, all of them are have, you know, fair playing game to keep somebody, again, from getting hospitalized or requiring ICU or ventilator-level support. You know, as far as the data of what breakthrough cases, I do not have that, whether, you know, just testing positive if one has higher. I know Moderna has came out with some studies recently about its effectiveness, Pfizer as well. Both of those were in the 90% range to protect against a breakthrough case. But again, the most important data, regardless of any vaccine, is that all three of them have very strong results for preventing serious comorbidities, so serious sickness and mortality, which is death.
Let's talk about the deaths in our area and in Alabama as a whole. It's harder now than it was, I believe, 1 year ago to find current information on cases and hospitalizations and deaths, although you guys do a great job of that at USA Health. But it seems to me like even with hospitalizations as high as we were seeing them since the pandemic began, the deaths haven't quite reached that number. Are you seeing fewer fatalities from the disease, even though we have higher hospitalizations?
Yeah, but we've kind of seen that all along, you know, as people kind of learn, you know, science did what it did and medical providers really, you know, got in there and studied, you know, the care treatment plans have came a long way in knowing how to care for patients that are hospitalized. But subsequently, we are going to see increased deaths, and we have been seeing increased deaths due to the high number of patients that are requiring hospitalization. And then there's also, you know, the byproducts of some of these things, which are, you know, are more people going to die because they didn't get timely care, whether it's for an acute issue. And then there's also a lot of concerns because of, you know, people putting off preventative care medicine, such as, you know, whether it's, you know, coming in for your mammogram or your pap smear or your colonoscopy, putting off those preventative care things we know down the road can lead to, you know, increased mortality and morbidity. And our cancer center physicians are constantly kind of talking about that, is that, you know, it's not just affecting our here and now of our populations. It's going to affect the future, too. So just something to keep in mind.
Great text earlier on our text line from Dale. And he's basically asking, should we start to think of vaccinating for COVID as more of a like the flu vaccine? Like, it's not a stop all disease, stops dead in its tracks right there, but something that scientists and these pharmaceutical companies will kind of have to forever try to head off at the pass as these variants come out?
Yeah, I think that's a great question. I can definitely agree that it's not the end-all be-all, just like we're seeing now, you know, that we know that it's a huge part to prevent strain on our healthcare system, but masks and socially distance are needed because there's always going to be members of our population who can't be vaccinated, and a really big group of people right now that can't be vaccinated are those under 12. And so, again, I think that, you know, we do have to kind of line up every piece of armor that we have in our defense. What we don't know yet, and what they haven't really released data here in the United States, is whether or not we're going to, you know, get a booster every year, just like we do with flu. A new flu vaccine comes out that covers what strand, you know, they think is going to be circulating in our winter months. Mm-hmm. And, you know, the determination's still out on that here. I know that the CDC and FDA are looking at studies, looking at what it says. Some other countries have kind of started doing that already. And so I know that they're studying that as well.
Natalie Fox, we appreciate your time again today and this week. And if you don't mind, I guess next Monday we'll do it one more time.
All right. Thank you all so much, Dan and Dalton.
You got it. Natalie Fox, the director of nursing at USA Health. And
hopefully we don't have to talk to her very much more.
Yeah, you know again, I'm back to that thinking, like, what's this thing? Where are we going to be a month from now? Well, hopefully a little more in the clear. That'd be nice. 820 FM Talk 106.5. Morning from Dan, Brendan, Dalton, Orwig, FM Talk 106.5. 825. Phone lines are open at 343-0106. Feel free to call. Of course, you can text at the same line. All right, Delta variant. Been a big haymaker since late June, right? In the state of Alabama, I think you kind of did the math. We've had this surge has brought on about 300 some deaths.
Yeah, so I was looking at the charts, and although hospitalizations are way up, that's been said plenty of times. You know, ICU beds are we're lacking in the state as more and more people get hospitalized, and that includes younger people. The average age is down some, but I was looking at the number of deaths in Alabama. So, as of right now, we're nearing 12,000 total deaths since the beginning of the pandemic in Alabama. So over the last 18 months, there's been nearly 12,000 deaths. But over this last surge, which I think is fair to say started at the beginning of July,
yeah,
maybe?
That's right.
The number I found, June 25th, there were 11,336 deaths in the state. As of the latest number I could find, we are now at 11,765. So it's about 330 deaths since the beginning of July. When you put that into perspective, I mean, of course, you don't want to see anyone die from COVID. And the hospitalizations is certainly not a good thing, as Natalie was saying there with the that you're seeing a lot of hospitalizations, which means other surgeries and other preventative measures for other diseases, that starts to fall by the wayside.
Yeah, exactly.
And you don't like seeing one-year-olds go in the hospital either.
But right.
I think as we keep things in perspective, the numbers of daily deaths we're seeing now, we saw higher numbers throughout November, December, January, and February.
Daily deaths were higher at that time.
Exactly right. And while the chart is starting to go up some, and I'm hoping we don't near anywhere near the peak, and we could see more deaths here on the horizon. That's what Natalie Fox said we would see. But right now, those numbers of daily deaths statewide are relatively low to where we were during the height of the pandemic over the beginning of the year.
Delta variant versus Moderna versus Pfizer.
So
let's break it down to those two.
Yeah, and I had this report last week with what Sean was in. And it's a new study from the Mayo Clinic and in Minnesota from January through July. And what they found was that the Moderna vaccine is way outperforming Pfizer with the Delta variant. Pfizer's during July alone against the Delta variant, Pfizer was only 42% effective.
Wow.
Now, that's 1 month in one state. Moderna was 76% effective against that same variant. But Dr. Anthony Fauci already dismissing that study, which will certainly not help him in the eyes of a lot of Americans who feel like he's just taking the information he wants to use and dismissing information that's not relevant to his cause, right?
Right.
So he dismissed that study. And it's a Mayo Clinic study we're talking about here. He was asked if that indicated that individuals should seek a Moderna dose rather than a Pfizer dose. And he said, the study is a preprint study. It hasn't been fully peer-reviewed. I don't doubt what they're seeing, but there are a lot of confounding variables in there about when one was started, the relative amount of people in that cohort who were Delta versus Alpha. He said, if we get boosters, we want them to get the boost from the original vaccine they received.
That they got the first time, right.
But all indications that I've seen show that these vaccines we have now aren't as effective against the Delta variant as the initial variant, but most of the people who are being hospitalized are unvaccinated. So even though you're seeing people that are vaccinated get sick, and some pretty sick, but for the most part, they
not
seem to be able to kind of stay at home. There are some that are hospitalized, but yeah, the vaccine seemed to be more of almost a therapeutic than a preventative measure in many cases. Now, those that are vaccinated are still less likely to even catch the virus. But just trying to kind of gather everything I could find and read through it, it seems like there are more breakthrough cases than have been reported.
And so just my situation was, I believe around April the 7th, I got my first Pfizer shot. Had to wait 3 weeks. April 28th, got my second. Not only no reaction to it, didn't even know it was applied.
Mm.
Couldn't even tell that they put it in there.
Yeah,
yeah. Yeah. Hopefully, maybe that'll give me, maybe that's going to do the job and keep the Delta variant away from me. We'll see. 830 FM Talk 106.5.
Thank you, Kane. 835 FM Talk 106.5. Listening to Mobile Mornings on a Monday. And right now it's time to head to McConnell Automotive and talk with Louie Arata. Hey, Louie.
Good morning, guys. How are you?
Doing good here at the FM Talk studios. What's going on at McConnell? What can we expect if we come out today?
Shoot, I want to thank everybody for coming in Saturday. You had a great night. I'm getting a lot of calls on three-quarter ton used trucks. We traded one in Saturday. 18 with 60,000 miles on it. We're going to try to get that certified today, get it out front. It's white, sunroof, and it's loaded.
Mm.
Got the nice tires on it. Don't forget we got a couple of 21 Yukons here that need to go away too, and I know everybody likes those, so we got them here. Both of them are Denalis, actually. Traded in a Denali pickup truck on Saturday, which is a 20 model half ton. It's got the 6.2 and all the equipment, the surrounded cameras and everything. So we're going to be here today. We'll get a few cars in the shop, a few cars out front from detail, and we'll try to sell a few today. How about that?
That sounds like a plan to me, Louie. Hey, we appreciate your time this morning.
Thank you.
That's Louie Arata. You'll find him at McConnell Automotive on Dauphin Street, just east of I-65, and online, McConnellAutomotive.com.
836 at FM Talk 106.5. Getting my like a somebody that got hit in the head that was a great pianist and then he has no idea where the keys are anymore.
A great what's that?
pianist.
Oh, okay.
I guess we should always say that when I'm around Dalton.
I jumped one mic over. That's
very immature, Dalton. Yeah, so Dalton's he's jumped one mic because of some kind of sound in the microphone.
Now I'm overpowering.
It's completely. You would think that I'm like now operating a jet plane. I can't do this.
Yeah.
But we're going to get better. 837 at FM Talk 106.5. Where you want to go here?
Let's get some texts and then some phone calls here. First text here, Brad says, honest question, why has there not been a campaign for people to lose weight, take vitamins, and spend time outdoors getting sunlight? All of these are proven to boost natural immune system. Well, Brad, that's because that goes directly against the Everybody is Beautiful campaign that's been going for decades now, where you have to accept every single body type and every single whatever that someone says they are. And if you don't, you're either, you know, sexist or racist or, I don't know, is fattest a word? Or what would you, if you're seen as being rude to obese people, whatever the clinical name for that is, that's been the push. You look at, just look at Sports Illustrated. There's a huge push to have plus size swimsuit models because mm-hmm. all of these years they've been looked down upon, which is fine. And, you know, in Sports Illustrated, a plus size swimsuit model is still like, you know, a normal sized person.
She's still hot.
And still very hot. That's exactly correct.
Let me just say that.
But that's a fantastic question, Brad, and I think we all know the answer. It's that doesn't help the cause. It's if you get people to, you know, get in shape, then I don't know. It seems like it's easy to explain, but at the same time, it's difficult to explain. There's just been such a push for so long to accept everybody that that to come out and actually, because it is a medical crisis with obesity in America, if you say it, then you're considered, you know, someone who's looking down upon others. There's no other way to look at it. And it doesn't help that there's lobbyists with all of these food companies who it's their job to sell food, right? It's their job to put Wheaties on the table. It's mm-hmm. their job to put McDonald's and Taco Bell and KFC in your hands. And they push back hard anytime there's some kind of pushback against eating unhealthy food.
So if you pack your kids lunch, I've got some news for mamas and daddies out there. There's a survey, you know, how they did this study, I'm not exactly sure. But anyway, the number one thing that your kids aren't eating that you pack them are vegetables.
Mm-hmm.
The number two thing that they're not eating that you pack them, fruits.
Yes.
The third thing that your kid is saying, I don't really want that.
Protein?
Would be the main, yeah, would it be the sandwich or whatever.
Right.
What they're eating is things that are salty and things that are sweet mm-hmm. with sweeteners in them. Like a fruit's pretty sweet, too.
Yeah.
But a fruit and can be healthy for you. No. And they're going to do apple. They're going to get strawberry flavored something. They'll eat that, but they're not going to eat strawberry.
And listen, I'm going through it right now.
Really?
With the 2-year-old.
Really?
I mean, it's so first off, I'm one to be talking because I'm not in the best shape of my life. And I could certainly stand to eat a little bit healthier and find more time to exercise. But my whole plan going into parenthood was, and my wife's plan, we were working together on this, was, all right, no sodas until this time. No dessert food high in sugar until she's at least blah, blah.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, you get under the gun as a parent and you're looking at the aisle there of the grocery store or somewhere and you got a hungry kid there next to you and you start to get a little lax on the parameters that you had set yourself as a parent.
Yeah.
And now we have a child who wakes up on Saturday and asks for donuts first thing. And it's like, well, you know, the donuts not the best thing to give a 2-year-old for breakfast, but then you put a healthy meal of eggs and even a little bacon out there for her, and she doesn't touch it. It's like, you need to eat your food. Well, I want donuts. So it's, trust me.
When did the donuts begin? When did the donuts infiltrate your menu?
It was not the mom who set her off on the wrong track. It was me.
Okay.
And at some point, I was like, you know, I bet she would like some donuts. And that was
and you were right on.
And I was right on. And yeah. She never looked back. Never never wanted any food after that but powdered donuts. So it's really difficult, and it's even difficult to do it yourself, but what shouldn't be difficult is these, you know, medical professionals that are saying they should be as full-heartedly as they are, and that's an incorrect use of the word, but as hard as they are telling people to mask up and socially distance and get the vaccines, they should, with that same aggressiveness, be saying, eat fruits and vegetables, yep. lay off of the desserts, get outside and get some vitamin D, take some zinc, because these are things that we're seeing that will help you.
So here's the thing, though. Look at it from their perspective. They want you to get the vaccine. The vaccine is quick and easy. You stand in line or you drive in line and you get it. The other things are lifestyle issues, which is a whole lot. Your kid's hooked on donuts. Yeah. She's not even three. You've got issues within your own household, young man.
I know. I'm saying. I'm fully admitting that the glass house I'm in, I've thrown stones through all the windows.
And she's thrown shoes.
Yeah. But, you know, still, her diet, which includes powdered donuts, is probably, in the long run, better than the diet of probably 75% of the kids out there. Remember when we first started as partners here, Dan, mm-hmm. and I went to McDonald's as my wife was going to labor with our second child.
Right.
I took the first one again when I gave powdered donuts, took her through the McDonald's drive-thru. Again, all right, bad food parenting decision. They do have healthy food at McDonald's. But when I asked for a milk.
Really?
When I asked for a milk for the kids' meal, and the person in the drive-thru said chocolate or. He said regular or white milk. I said, well, what's regular milk? And he's like, well, the chocolate milk.
Chocolate's the regular.
That's the standard order for kids. So just partially shows how we've gotten into this crisis.
Dalton, an unnamed texter, says, cheese grits for the two-year-old.
Mm-hmm.
My daughter lived off them for 5 years. So I don't know, you know, the cheese might not be the best. But so anyway, grits, cheese grits, he got his daughter hooked on cheese grits. And it got him through about like a five-year term, like from 2 to 7 years old. That's pretty good.
We've got both of them on the grits program.
Okay.
Now. Yeah. Izzy loves her some grits. And then that was the first real food we gave the 8-month-old.
Right.
Regular grits, not cheese. She's not ready for that graduation yet.
So some of the texters here are talking about, let me see here.
Mark put up, he said, my doctor also recommended that I add this to the list of vitamins I take. It's NAC. And believe it or not, Mark, I was looking at that this weekend. And Amazon, actually the FDA and Amazon kind of teamed together where they're not selling NAC on Amazon any longer. And I forget what the theory is, why they stopped. Walmart still sells it. It's basically something that, as far as I can tell, it helps with your immune system. It actually thins the mucus in your body, this NAC stuff, and is working. A lot of people are taking it as a preventative for COVID-19. Now, I haven't seen any Fauci's or anyone come out and say that would be helpful, but NAC is something I was starting to read about this weekend. And obviously, if you're thinking of taking any vitamins or medicine, do your research before you go out and start taking them. But it's interesting that he sent that picture, because I was reading about NAC just this week.
Yeah, that is interesting. Zinc, they say, is a good thing to take right now.
Yep.
You know?
Yeah, and Dan says that NAC, great for liver health, is part of what they're saying here.
More on the text line, and we'll get to the phones, too, on the way.
Yeah, 343-0106. Mark said he got those at Vitamin Shop on Airport Boulevard. We're getting a lot of texts. We'll have to turn to these when we get back.
845, also the state of downtown, at least this last Friday. I've got that on the way. FM Talk 106.5 at 8:51, 9 minutes away from 9 o'clock, and the Jeff Poor Show is on the way.
Yeah, and many guests on the Jeff Poor Show today. Tony Dugache, running for city council, will be in hour one. Dale Jackson in hour number two, and then April Marie Fogle and State Rep Chris Pringle bringing it home in the third hour. By the way, with Tony Dugache coming in that first hour, if you want to catch up on all the interviews we've had with some background music.
Yeah, we'll get to this. Go ahead.
If you want to catch up on all the city council and mayoral interviews we've had on FM Talk 106.5, just go to fmtalk1065.com.
So Friday, when I got back to town.
That's great audio, by the way.
That is downtown Mobile. And that was.
That's your phone.
Art Walk. Yes, it's my phone. But I took a video of downtown Mobile because you would not know that we were experiencing anything like we are. Now, again, I was down there, too. Vaccinated, but most of Art Walk is outside.
Mm-hmm.
At the same time, if you want to have a meal, more than likely you're going to eat inside, which I did at the bar at Debris. No one near me. Everything was fine. You know, just me and a friend. But in any event, that's just an idea of what the attitude is in Mobile. Is people were ready to get out, and that, you know, even with the surge and even with the Delta variant and everything that we know, it's in the news, and we know there are cases all around us. It seemed rather safe because most of it was, again, outside.
Yeah.
And people decided to come downtown because, well, you know, we talked about how many people live downtown Dalton, but it's not that large a number. Most of these people made a concerted effort. I will go downtown tonight. And anyway, I just thought I would throw that in there. Like, this is what Mobilians are thinking.
Well, businesses are changing already, too. I walked into Walmart on Friday, and they had someone at the door with masks, handing out masks. Wasn't, like, required, but anyone who wanted any, they were giving them out. And what about New Orleans? I mean, they're doing the vaccine passport thing all the way, that if you don't have a vaccine passport on hand, then you'll have to show a negative test to get into Saints games and anything else in New Orleans, bars, restaurants, breweries, events. So it's so strange seeing different parts of the country, however they line up politically, is what they're doing to prepare for this next wave. I still think that for our area, that it's this time of year, last year and this year, that we've had some relatively large surges in case numbers. I'm interested, some of these states that are, you know, holier than thou, or at least they seem to think they've gotten a handle on the virus because of their vaccination rate. Let's see what happens as we get further along into the year. And we're so quick to put a lid on it, and I'm just as guilty. We're so quick to say, well, we're out. We're done. We've got the vaccine.
Well, that wasn't just us. That was the President of the United States.
Yeah.
So we're saying, like, July 4th, if we meet our numbers, which we barely missed, the vaccination numbers that he held out there as our goal.
Yeah.
We got to him a month later, and the surge rolls on.
Yeah. So, you know, to say that it's over, or to start acting like we know more about the virus than we did before. We do know more than we did before, but let's see what happens in September and October, what things are looking like in New Hampshire and Vermont.
On the text line, my wife takes a lot of zinc because she heard that it helps with your immune system and keeps you from getting COVID.
Mm-hmm.
Well, she may have something there. I just got over COVID, and she never got it. Okay.
Yeah. And at the same time, Jace, who really went through it with the virus here over the last few weeks, he said zinc is great, but not to be taken anywhere near the same time as antibiotics. He said he was on both while down with COVID, and the zinc will block absorption of those antibiotics. Mm. Now, Jace, correct me if I'm wrong, but Jace was vaccinated, and he believes the vaccine saved his life, but didn't keep him from going through hell. With the virus. Jace really got knocked down a peg from it. So,
and he had, I believe Jace had heart issues earlier in his life. So there was something there.
Yeah, and you're seeing that with a lot of people.
Okay, Dave is on the line. Dave from Foley. Maybe you'll lighten the mood a little bit. Dave, hello.
Good morning, Dan.
Yes, sir.
I got a question for you, and Dalton, feel free to jump in if this excites you too. But the postponement of the Dolphin Street Beer Festival, can we give that an unofficial name? Maybe call it Dofftoberfest?
Maybe we could, Dave, and maybe we shouldn't. Well, it's under consideration. I know that your request is already on the desk of Councilman Fred Richardson. We'll see how. We'll see how he reacts. Thanks for the call, Dave.
Yeah, I like his odds. If Fred wins the mayoral race next week, if it's on his desk, maybe it will be called Dofftoberfest.
How about that? The municipal elections are 8 days away.
Yep, a week and a day. And I'm interested. We were talking last week about who we and you know, we don't obviously pick favorites. Mm-hmm. We don't endorse anyone in these races on this station, and we just try to get the information out there and interview as many people as we can. And
great job on the website, by the way.
And let you decide. Thank you. There is a – I was kind of creating a fantasy roster of who I think would make the most interesting city council.
Okay.
After having talked with a lot of them.
Yeah.
I'm not going to put any names out there, but can you imagine the turnover we might have with Mobile City Council and some of the people that are running, how – much entertainment we could have on Tuesdays with some of these outside-the-box candidates getting in there.
Even with the retirement of the aforementioned Fred Richardson.
Yep, and he has propped up the viewing numbers for the city council for years. Mm-hmm. There's no telling how few views they would have on their already limited viewing YouTube page if there were no Councilman Fred Richardson. I don't know who would be watching except for the people who, you know, have issues that are on the table that day.
Have you ever run into Fred Richardson just in everyday life?
I have.
Okay.
I have. It was an anniversary my wife and I were having at Ruth's Chris.
Okay.
And I saw the councilman there. I did not stop and talk with him. Because, again, it was my anniversary. I had more pressing issues at the time, but I have seen him out and about several times.
Yeah, and it's interesting about Fred is that he's very theatrical as a councilman, and in everyday life, if you were to run into him, which I have several times, it's like normal guy.
Yeah.
Like you would never say, oh, that's the guy that, you know, kind of gaslights city council every week in any way. He's everyday guy. It's just interesting, you know, politics and the theater of politics.
Well, you know, five candidates up for mayor. You got to think, you know, unless the incumbent, Mayor Stimson, just completely cleans the field out, there's going to be some sort of runoff there.
Wow. Next Tuesday, y'all, 8:59. Jeff Poor's show's on the way next on FM Talk 106.5. Dan and Dalton tomorrow starting at 6.